Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite part of the afternoon, getting to spend time with you, prescribing hope for healthy families. We are in need of hope, and today we have got some great encouragement for moms. We talk about moms a lot on this show. We have a lot of mom listeners. We have a lot of grandmother listeners, great-grandmother listeners, aspiring mother listeners, and we've got some encouragement for you. But if you are not a mom, don't turn off the show, because you know a mom in your life. If you are living on this earth, you have a mom, you have a grandmother, you have maternal figures in your life, and you may just get some insight into the things that we as moms are facing today and get some encouragement for how you can give some encouragement. My guest today is Amy Reno. Now, her first ministry is Loving Her Husband and Nurturing Faith. And there, are you ready for this? They have seven children. So I'm going to just go out on a limb and say she has a little bit of experience in this whole motherhood thing. She and her husband founded and lead Visionary Family Ministries. Now, this is a ministry they created to equip parents, encourage couples, and help families live for Christ. She attended the University of Illinois, followed by Wheaton College Graduate School, where she earned her master's degree in clinical psychology, and she is a licensed clinical professional counselor. Amy, we're so glad to have you on the show.
Thank you, Jessica, for having me. It's such a joy to be here today.
It is such a joy always to encourage moms, isn't it?
It is. It's something that I love to talk about, and I actually am a natural talker. That is my gift, and I often wish I was a talk show host sometimes. But so this is a fun conversation for me.
Well, good. Well, my kids tease me about having the gift of gab or being the occasional yapper. I do like to talk too. So let's just dive right in. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself and about your family?
Sure. Well, you did a great introduction, but I just want to talk a little bit about my relationship with the Lord. I was blessed to have a mom who knew Jesus. And even though my dad was not a Christian, she really raised all three of us to have a thriving relationship with Jesus Christ. So I've known the Lord for a long time, but I never knew or expected to be a pastor's wife. So when I met Rob during my days at Wheaton when I was getting my master's degree in counseling, I was also thrown into this world of ministry at the same time. So I was working as a therapist and then a youth pastor's wife too. And really, that is when I think the Lord just grew my heart for ministry first and foremost. I mean, I think that I'm kind of a very eclectic person. Things that weren't said in the introduction, I'm a dancer. I do some local choreography here. I lead worship. I have a lot of gifts that I really love to work in the world of ministry and use all those things and really just help people grow in their relationship with Christ. But as I got to live my dream of becoming a mom, which really was always, even when I was a little girl, my number one thing, if you ask me what I wanted to do, I wanted to be a mom. And when God just allowed that to come into my life, he opened doors for me to really just, you know, learn a lot, as we all do as moms, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
I never expected, I didn't set out thinking we were going to have a big family. The Lord kept kind of readjusting our expectations and helping me to grow as a mom in just so many different areas. But it gave me a passion for motherhood that I didn't expect. So that kind of ministry and motherhood and really just how to help moms understand how important they are, like who they are as moms and what a gift that is to our children. Because we're living in such a world where there's so many different mixed messages and pressures that moms feel right now. So this book that I wrote, Not So Perfect Mom, is really about helping women to understand, like, if God has blessed you as a mom, it's a great gift, and how invaluable you are to your children and your family.
Well, you're right, Amy. You wrote this book, Not So Perfect Mom, Learning to Embrace What Matters Most. And, you know, I know as a mom myself, I started out feeling so insecure. I didn't have a good relationship with my mom. I was thinking, how in the world am I going to be a good mom? I want to be a good mom so badly. And for me, Amy, you may have had this experience too, because you are a licensed clinical professional counselor. I'm a nurse practitioner going to work every day. I felt like a fraud sometimes. I'm thinking, I do not have it together at home. And how am I helping you to realize, you know, helping you to get it together when I don't feel like I have it together? But I have really embraced this message that God does not require perfection. God requires obedience. You know, God requires us to be faithful and serving Him. And He is so good to bless that. And there were so many parts of your book that resonated with me. And I think especially now, I mean, I look, my oldest is now in her early 20s. And now I see moms who are even more so raising their kids in the shadow of social media, where they feel so much pressure to be perfect. And our brains tell us not to. But somehow our hearts just still feel that comparison, feeling like I am not that mom. And so one of the first things I want to ask you about is one of your chapters is called Raising People, Not Products. And this really stopped me in my tracks because I thought none of us would say, oh, yes, we're raising products or using our kids as products. But when we see that influencer culture and consumer culture, we really can start to feel that way. So tell us about this chapter and what you learned about raising people and not products.
Yes, thank you for asking. And you know, I am just to repeat, Jessica, I feel blessed. You know, I have my oldest is like 27. I also have three grandbabies. I didn't even mention that in the introduction. So that's kind of an important part too. I'm a grandmother now as well. Mm-hmm. And I've often thought how thankful I am to not have been in the midst of that social media when my kids were little, as I see my daughter is now with her little ones, because it just emphasizes all these principles in this book, even more so with the social media culture that we are immersed in. But what I would say about that, there's just this mentality that I think we can fall into so quickly, and we kind of fall in it, I think, innocently too, because we really are trying to do our best for our kids, and we get so many messages about, you know, the things that we should be doing in regards to their health, their physical health, and their friendships, their social development, and then of course the areas of gifts, of musical ability, and athletic gifts and academics, and I could go on and on, but you don't realize how that kind of can get your brain into thinking that you're sort of supposed to be raising a product and not a person. And what I mean by that is that you can become so focused on hitting these benchmarks as a mom and really trying to do your best to hit the benchmarks that you can get lost, that really your goal is not to have a product by this time this person is 18. And what I mean by that is that you've raised someone who's, okay, very socially eloquent and a good leader and great musical gifts, and they're off to go to college. You feel like you've done your job, but in reality, you want a relationship with that person. You're raising a person who's going to have troubles, who is going to not live up to standards, who's going to deal with disappointments. And as a mom, I think we have to begin with that end in mind, that we are looking for what I talk about in this book is a lifelong discipleship, heart-connected relationship. Sometimes I mix those words around, meaning that I want to raise my children so that they want to have a relationship with me their whole life long. That's the goal.
Amen. Amen.
This close relationship. But when we slip in and fall into that product mentality, it puts not only so much pressure on ourselves, but it puts pressure on our kids, pressure on the whole family structure, and it can just really get us on the wrong course. So that, yes, you might raise someone who's really remarkable, but if they leave at 18 and don't want to turn around and look back, that's not a happy place for us as moms. That's not what we're going for. We're going for that heart-connected, lifelong discipleship relationship.
And yet that's where we put a lot of our mom effort. We worry about grades and ACT scores and sports and musical talent or extracurricular activities. We worry about all of these things. And you shared, Amy, that as you were providing counseling, that you noticed a pattern mm-hmm. that no one in adulthood was coming to you for counseling over these issues, that they were non-existent in adulthood. But instead, you noticed another pattern that was the same, that was prompting people to seek counseling. What was that?
Yes, that was a very eye-opening revelation for me, because like I said, I was working as a youth pastor's wife, and I was also doing counseling. I was doing both of those things in those early years of family and raising my own children. And this is the pattern I noticed. I would be working ministry with high school girls, and a lot of these high school girls had Christian moms. I came from what you would call good families. But I would say with almost all of them, by the time the second time I was meeting with these girls, we were talking about their relationship with their mom. And I was helping them navigate a lot of things about their relationship with their mom, what was hurting them, how they couldn't talk to them. That was sort of a focus often in my discipleship with high school girls. At the same time, I was seeing people of all ages in my counseling practice, and I'll never forget this woman who's probably in her 60s, and by the second time we were meeting for counseling, she was talking about her relationship with her mom. And I started to put these pieces together, and you know, I had my own little daughter and my son at the time. And I thought, wow, you know, maybe I could raise my children in such a way that when they got to this point, when they got into high school or they're adults, that instead of going to pay someone or meet with someone to talk about me, maybe they could just talk to me. It was like such a light bulb moment. Like, how could I have a relationship with them that would create that safety, that security, so that they would want to talk to me? Because you already said, Jessica, people don't seek counseling in those older years. Like, I never had someone coming in and saying, I'm really struggling with spelling. Like, yeah. And they don't pay therapists to deal with these issues that for us as moms become so central. No, they come and pay for therapy because they have broken relationships, because they're dealing with wounds in their family that they haven't been able to deal with. And those things are melting into all these other areas of their lives and causing problems. So that became just a total shift in my thinking as a mom. How can I keep a relationship that helps build on that, so they want to talk to me when they're older?
That is exactly what I want. And honestly, Amy, that is why I have this radio show, because I feel like I'm learning that. And it's the things that seem so simple, but yet are just really not easy. They're really difficult. And you have to give yourself grace and space for the journey. It's not something that happens overnight. But me, like you, I've been able to build a relationship with my kids where they come to me, and sometimes it's difficult and we can work through things. And that is what I want to do so, so much. And, you know, another thing that you and I have in common is our affection for the movie It's a Wonderful Life. It is my family's absolute favorite movie. We also watch it every Christmas. One of my children really doesn't like older movies, but loves this one. And we just love it so much. And the way that the movie opens up is you hear, you know, God talking to this angel in heaven. And I'm not going to go into the theology. It's a good story, okay? But he says, that there's the senior angel says, a man down on earth needs our help. And Clarence says, splendid. Is he sick? And I will never forget this line. The angel says, no, worse. He's discouraged. And I was thinking about that, thinking about how painful the weight of discouragement is when we feel like we're a failure. And then, of course, it goes on to the end of the movie. He says, no man is a failure who has friends. Mm-hmm. And you had some insights on that. And we're at a commercial break already. I can't even believe that. But when we come back, I want to ask you about that, about developing friendships and what role that has in a mom's journey. Well, listen, friends, we're talking to Amy Reno. We're talking about her book, Not So Perfect Mom, Learning to Embrace What Matters Most. I am a self-professed not-so-perfect mom. My kids would gladly testify to that, and they would say, oh, yes, we know when our mom has messed up. But hopefully what they would say after that is, she apologized and she's growing and she loves us. More encouragement coming up with Amy Reno. Don't go back. Don't go away. We'll be right back. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you, we need to save them. That is why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that is a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies, and that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. I praise when I'm not. Welcome back, friends. That song is Praise by Brandon Lake. And wherever you are, you have a reason to praise. We always have something to be thankful for. And I'm thankful for you. I'm so thankful that you are here listening to my conversation with Amy Reno, the not-so-perfect mom. She's written a book with the same title, Learning to Embrace What Matters Most. And Amy, right before the break, we were talking about the Christmas movie, It's a Wonderful Life. My regular listeners will be laughing because they know anytime I can bring up Christmas, I will do it without any shame or apology at all. But I love this movie. And at the end of the movie, Clarence leaves that message for George that says, no man is a failure who has friends. And you had another revelation about this quote and how it relates to being a mom. So share that with us.
Yeah, the title of that chapter is called Meaningful Relationships, Meaningful Life. You know, we, again, can get lost in this culture that we're living in that really actually works against the development of real relationships. You know, when we have what I referred to already as that product mentality, that I think it's so easy for us as moms to accidentally slip into and focus on our checklist when it comes to our children, that, you know, the world can push out the importance of just developing close relationships. But I think what moms don't realize is that the relationship they have with their child is so central to helping their children also develop other healthy relationships, and that these things go together. So that when we are like learning to how to have a good relationship with our kids, meaning, and that you already said it before, Jessica, about learning to apologize or take responsibility mm-hmm. when we might have said something that was hurtful, or we went into a large shaming tone, or even, my mom, who I have a dear relationship with, I mean, when I was growing up, I would get the silent treatment. That's not a good pattern. But my mm-hmm. point is, you can have these dysfunctional relational patterns. We all do. Yeah. But the point is, when we are focused on helping our children, helping build in our relationship healthier patterns, maybe making those choices to learn what we came from and making better choices and how to deal with conflict, all of these things is helping our children not only have a good relationship with us, but it's a springboard for them. Because it's a springboard, like this relationship with mom is central to healthy relationships. for their friendships, for their future spouses. It is something that is worth your time and investment in.
It absolutely is. And that is what we all want. And I think it's really even harder in this raising this generation. And one of the stories that you share is about your oldest son, who is about, you know, the same age as my oldest and the beginning of the Gen Z generation. We were the beginning of the social media moms, right? Trying to navigate all of this. And you shared this real, you said you labeled it as an extremely interesting conversation. I would definitely agree when he was a junior in high school. And you talked about how, you know, he was having trouble like making relationships and he had felt like an outsider at school, even though he was accepted, but he didn't know kind of how to fit into the school. So I want to read this, this section, this paragraph from the books, just so that our readers can know exactly what he said. He came home one day and he said to me, "Mom, I finally figured out this school thing. These kids go to school every day, sit in class, meet the same people in halls between classes to share what is on their phones with each other. Then they sit at lunch with their phones doing the same thing. Then after school, they go to their other activities. They go home, maybe have dinner with their family, do homework, go to bed, and then they do the same thing the next day and the next. So instead of building relationships with each other at school, they are more like information booths, just sharing information back and forth, and they have no time to invest in relationships with the people who know them best, like their parents and siblings. So while the school emphasizes relationship building, I wonder how much relationship building is actually happening." Mic drop, Amy. Mic drop. What did you think when he came home and said this to you?
Well, I praised the Lord. That's what I did first. And I was like, thank you, Lord, for opening his eyes, for seeing these things and making these connections. You know, he was homeschooled. We homeschooled our kids for a while, and then they enter into a lot of different things. And this was his high school experience, his junior year. And he was having trouble figuring that whole thing out. And when he drew all those connections, I just thought, wow, I mean, how, you know, out of the mouths of babes comes some of this incredible wisdom. And that is such a great commentary on what phones and this social media have done to break down natural relationship building skills. And that is something that I think we can feel helpless often as parents. Like we can't, like there's no way to combat that kind of thing. Like we're just victims of this new culture. And that is what I want to push against here in this conversation to help parents. Like, that is just not true. We are not victims. We are facing a new challenge. This is, it's good when you read that section for us to go, okay, let's get our heads around this. Let's get our heads around what our kids are experiencing. But let us not think that we are have to be victims of that. Like, we can proactively create a different culture in our own family. And that's what I want to encourage us as moms to do. How do you make sure that your kid is not just exchanging information with other people, like that their relationships revolve around a phone? How do you combat that? And I get that there's a lot of practical tips at the end of this book, but just really, you know, I want to empower mom that you can just by simply turning the phone off at home and doing things to focus on your relationship with your child, even if you can't fix all those other things, if you work on helping them, you know, to set boundaries in your own home, to turn off those devices, to help work through conflict with your siblings, with people within your four walls, that does such good for your children, like I said before, in developing other close relationships. Because trust me, they will use those skills and they will find people to have relationships with, and they will have better set of skills than what a lot of people are being hampered, and a lot of kids are, when their whole world is like what RW described in that section.
This was just such a light bulb moment for me, because when I thought about it being information sharing booths, as you described them, I also realized that information is now a social commodity. and thinking about how many times kids ask each other, did you see this viral video? Did you hear about this news that somebody posted? Did you know, you know, that this happened in the news or whatever it may be? Mm-hmm. And then the kids who know, who've seen, who've heard, they automatically have more social status than the kids who don't. And it's not focusing on those relationship buildings. I mean, they're texting each other, sitting right next to each other. And this is where I always say, Amy, that they need our old school social skills, because we need to know how to have in-depth conversations, how to talk about our feelings, how to work through conflict, how to ask for forgiveness, how to share our burdens that we're struggling with. And in this section, you also ask moms, you say, do you understand how important you are to the future success of your kids? It is not about how spectacular you are as a mom, but how much you embrace the importance of your job as a mom. And, you know, so often I find that moms, we fall into the trap of instant gratification. We want that instant feedback, that instant relationship, and there just is no such thing. And so you talk about a different definition for excellent relationships. So what do excellent relationships look like to you as a mom with your kids?
Well, the number one word that comes to my mind is messy. Excellent relationships are inherently messy because life is messy. And they involve learning how to stick with a person when you don't like someone maybe that much. In fact, a famous line in our home, especially with raising my daughters, is, you know, I know you may not like me very much right now. And, you know, I don't like you very much right now either. But I'm committed to you. I'm not going anywhere. I just want you to know I'm here. I'm here to the end, and I'm going to take a bullet for you. That's how much I love you. That's how much I'm committed to you. But it may not mean that we have warm fuzzies through a season of life. Just because you don't have warm fuzzies or you might be in a difficult conflict phase, it doesn't mean you have necessarily a bad relationship. Relationships, especially in a family, are designed to bring out the difficult stuff, to bring out the things that have to be taken care of in those strong, healthy, committed relationships. So when you're dealing with difficult stuff, life is difficult. It's not all fluff and, you know, rainbows and let's go out for ice cream every night. It's, you know, let's get in the pit together. Let's deal with the rejection you're feeling from your friends, or the, you know, let's deal with that together. I'm going to help you navigate this with you. There's nothing, you know, it's helping your kids know that you're stuck in, you're going through this mission together. We like to say in our family coaching ministry, I use this a lot, this mindset of the Marines, where they, you know, the Marines say there's no one left behind. And, you know, when you see families that are struggling, you see a child going through something, so often a child gets a thing in their head like they're the problem. They're like, if I could fix my anxiety, then we can all, you know, then I will be okay. And but when a family and a mom gets their head around the fact that, you know, we're not moving forward without you, we're in this together, this is not just your problem, this is our problem, that transforms that for that child, that we're, my family is my safety net, my family is helping me grow in all these areas that I need to grow, that really only the family can do well. And specifically the mother-child relationship, God has blessed this natural closeness there that enables, you know, when you can strengthen that relationship, I feel like I'm beating a dead horse, it helps that child in all other relationships. And this is going to be the most important success factor for their life, meaningful relationships. So did that help answer that question, Jessica? I feel like I had more to say, but I can't.
Yeah.
I know. You said something else about just, you know, one thing I want moms to hear, because a lot of moms, I can't tell you how many times I've been in this situation where a mom will come up to me and start talking to me about the struggles that they're having with their kids, or, you know, a certain child's going through a difficult time, and they'll start talking about all the things they feel like they should be doing better. And I will just look at them and I'll say, do you know that God is pleased with you? And the tears fall instantly. Mm-hmm. And I want to say that to every mom listening right now who loves their children. You know, if you're listening to the show, I could tell you that you're a mom who loves your kids. I don't even need to know more than that to know that you love your kids and God is pleased with you for loving your kids. Don't let the enemy make you feel like you are doing some horrible job or that you've made some major mistakes. There's nothing that God, if God gave you that child, he is going to empower you throughout this entire relationship. So I would just encourage you, don't give up out there. God is pleased with you for loving your kids.
It is. Hang on. We're going to try to reestablish our connection with Amy. But it is really important not to generalize a character struggle into a behavioral flaw and recognize that sometimes really good kids struggle with things. And so when we start using shaming language like, why are you always so this? Or why can you never do that? That's a sign that we're using shaming language and really making them feel like, am I this person? And that struggle that they're having, that individual behavioral struggle, all of a sudden becomes their identity. And that's something that we don't want for sure. And no mom can be a perfectionist. No, it's just not a sustainable lifestyle. And one of the definitions that Amy presents here in the book about perfectionism is she says, perfection is an unrealistic and unattainable standard we place on ourselves and others. Perfectionism is best described as a hidden drive that leaves us unsettled because things are not going the way we imagine they should be. And so often we look at other people on social media, we look at them in the school drop-off line, we look at them going into church, and we see the highlight reels of everybody else's social media, and we think, oh, that looks so perfect. Why am I not perfect? And we constantly feel like, am I messing up my kids for life? You know, what are we doing? But we have to choose humility over perfection. And Amy, one of the things you said was that when you had kids, it was like you took a humility pill that your body didn't want to have. But when we come back, we're going to talk about this more, about perfectionism and instead embracing a good enough mom perspective and just getting rid of that mom guilt and having great enough kids. That's what's coming up when we come back after this break. Don't go away. I'll be right back with more from Amy Reno, the not-so-perfect mom, learning to embrace what matters most.
In a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. We're talking to Amy Reno, author of Not So Perfect Mom, Learning to Embrace What Matters Most. And That is such a good song. That is Thank You, Jesus, for the Blood by Charity Gayle, one of my favorites on repeat. We are having a conversation about rejecting perfectionism in motherhood and choosing to be a good enough mom. What are your strengths? So, Amy, you tell a story in this book about crooked picture frames and seeing those at your house mm-hmm. and a lesson that God showed you from that. Can you share that with us?
Yeah, that was decorating, I like to do it. I never seem to have the time to do it or the finances to do it to the way that I would like at times. So I can remember trying to get this gallery wall up right before my daughter's graduation party. And despite our best efforts, a lot of the frames just weren't exactly perfect the way I wanted them. And they were just all sort of, I was looking at this wall trying to keep fixing the pictures to be exactly right. And I was doing my devotions, and I looked up, and the Lord just kind of gave me that phrase, you know, life is lived in crooked picture frames, you know, that I keep thinking that there will be this state where everything will hit this perfect equilibrium, and I will, you know, get it or something. And the reality is that perfect equilibrium, even if it does come, it'll be completely fleeting because it's going to change probably within 24 hours and in a typical mom's life. So it's just learning to embrace that there's so much good. There was so much good looking at that wall, all the memories of all the things going on with our family. And I had a choice to focus on everything within those pictures or to focus on those crooked picture frames. And I think it was just, it's a good analogy for us as moms that every day we have that choice to think about what our focus and our attention is on. And so often we can get focused on the negative and the things that we feel like needed to be changed that we really forget all the good that's going on in our lives. It's all the good that's happening in our family, all the good that's going on in our kids' lives, because we're fixated on the wrong thing.
We are. We're fixated on our weaknesses, and we think about our weaknesses mm-hmm. as moms and the things that we're not good at instead of embracing our strengths. And I know this is going to sound completely unrelated, but even when I was doing some training as a nurse leader, I did this program called Gallup Strength Finders, and it really was revolutionary in looking for me and looking at what are my strengths and how do I lead from those instead of obsessing about my weaknesses and constantly trying to make my weaknesses better. It was about really leaning into and leveraging my strengths. And then what they taught us as leaders was, hey, don't try to be better at your weaknesses. Get a team around you of people who will pick up those weak spots for you and will help you with that.
Right.
So if that's, you know, with relationships or that kind of thing, I mean, Amy, for me, I am not the Pinterest mom. Like, I am not the one who's going to show up with the monogrammed cookies. Like, I cannot do that. But I have great friends who will do that. And I am not ashamed to say, hey, you know, you do that. And then when you know, your kids have some difficult things and they need somebody to talk to, I can do that. I'm really good at talking through those things. How do we focus on our strengths to be a good enough mom, not a perfect mom, but a mom that is truly right. good enough versus obsessing over our weaknesses?
Yes, you said it in a more eloquent way, but that was also revolutionary for me when I learned that, you know, you grow more in your strengths than you do in your weaknesses. Similar what you just said, that you can actually, that's where you can spend your energy. And sadly, you know, I think I tell a story in the book when a woman one time asked me, she was kind of a corporate woman at a baseball game. She looked at me directly and said, so what are your strengths? And I just sat there and I had nothing to say. I felt so like tongue-tied. I'm like, my strengths. I know I have them. I know there are some. But that was such an eye-opener again to me. Where was my brain focused? My brain was focused on my weaknesses. And that's what I was literally meditating on, how I had to get better in all these areas to the point that I couldn't even verbalize my strengths when someone asked me directly. So I think it's a helpful exercise for moms to sit down with a paper and write down their strengths. And then maybe even ask their husband, what do you see in me? What are strengths that you see in me? Even ask your kids what they see in you. Ask your friends. I had to do that in an exercise a couple years ago going through a different program called the 90-Day U-Turn. It was so helpful and encouraging. But God has given you strengths, and you can grow in your strengths, and you also can kind of plan your family life around your strengths. Jessica, I think you and I would be best friends. I am not a Pinterest mom either, and I am not a craft mom, and I am not I try to be a gardening mom, and I can't, like, I have a tomato bush growing right now, and I have gotten some cherry tomatoes. That's like a huge success for me. I'm thrilled. But in general, I would rather take a bike ride to the farmer's market, you know, than plant my own garden. And instead of looking that as a weakness or something like, oh, I need to be like this, I need to be better, like, no, that's what creates joy and happiness. And, you know, when we're operating in our strengths, it also creates a sense of lightness and joy and happiness in our homes. And that's a magnet. That's a magnet for your kids. They want to be around happy mom, not sad mom who's focused on all the things she can't do. So I just would encourage moms out there, like, know your strengths, write them out, ask people. You do have them. God has given them to you. So to learn what they are and grow in them.
You know, I really want to challenge all of the men who are listening, who are married, who have a wife at home, who is a mother or not. Go home today and tell your wife all of the strengths that you have noticed about her. Honestly, I think if you walked into the door and said, hey, I just wanted to share with you, I have seen you have these strengths, and this is what I see you contributing to our family to hold it all together. I think, I mean, you might want to have, you know, an AED ready to do some CPR because they might be just so shocked, right? But we do need to hear that because we do obsess about our weaknesses. But just something that you said, Amy, even just a few minutes ago, is that God put us in the right place at the right time with the right kids, with the right skills and strengths that we need for that child. And part of the beauty of our families is that no family looks like the other. You know, one family may be the farmer's market biking family and the other may be the Pinterest family. And the great thing is those families can get together and share their skills and new experiences. And that is a great thing. But I think sometimes, Amy, when we encounter hardship, we don't automatically think, okay, well, what are my strengths in this situation? How can I lead through this? But one of the stories that you told in here was actually a story that your doctor had told you, and I don't want to read it to our listeners. He told you that while he was growing up on a farm in Iowa, he had to build a lot of fences that required strong fence posts. And he said that the only way they could measure the strength of the fence post was by the strength of the storm that the fence posts could handle. And with each passing storm, they would know how strong the fence posts were. And there was really no other way to measure the quality of the fence post except seeing how well the post stood in the storm. How did you feel when he told you that?
Even when you read it back to me, almost a tear comes to my eyes because it was such a life-changing day. And that was after baby number 6, and I had a placenta abruption and, you know, almost lost my life, almost lost my baby. I have 7 kids and 7 very difficult delivery stories. So you're a nurse practitioner. I'm sure you've heard a lot, but none of them came easy. And one of the ways I would feel so attacked, especially after this situation, was just like, you know, what's wrong with me? I went into that appointment so focused on asking the doctor, you know, what happened? Why did, what's wrong with my body that my body had this happen? And you know, and that was my focus. And he told me that story. And I left that appointment a completely different mom that day because he just basically said, you just went through one of the biggest storms I've ever seen. Your baby just went through one of the biggest storms. There's nothing wrong with you. You are very, very strong. You have abundant health. Your baby has abundant health. That you basically was basically saying you are one solid fence post is what he was telling me. And so his words were just like, I left that appointment with my brand new baby. Just like, wow, God, thank you. Not only thank you for saving me, thank you for saving Ray, but thank you that you've shown me how strong we are. Like, we are not weak. We're strong. And it just, it just is amazing, when the Holy Spirit uses people like that to empower you and you get like, okay, I just got a glimpse of God's perspective on that situation through my doctor. And that dramatically, my circumstances didn't change, but my complete mindset changed and equipped me to handle the 6 months of recovery that it took my body to get better. Because I came home to a very messy house. I came home to all my problems. I came home to not feeling well for 6 months. I mean, I'd lost so much blood. I'd had a transfusion. I'd all this stuff happen. But you know what? My mindset was like, wow, I survived that storm. The Lord is not leaving me now, So our circumstances don't have to be changed, but God wants to speak into our circumstances and remind us that He is with us. He's not leaving us. He has equipped us, and we have to trust Him in those moments.
And that bleeds over into our kids being great enough. And you use this term, great enough kids. And you're right, mm-hmm. That you say that most moms think their kids are really great. But we may not think they're great all the time, but we think that our kids are great. But we do tend to focus on their weaknesses rather than emphasizing right. their strengths. We're constantly teaching, correcting, admonishing, which those things are important. But it's also equally important to give very specific, genuine praise, to praise those character traits, not just worldly accomplishments like getting an award or winning a sports game or something like that, which those things have their time and place. But how often are we praising our kids' character and having that? And you say in this chapter, does any mom ever ask you how your relationship is going with your kids? No, most of our mom conversations mm-hmm. are focused on what our kids are doing, the problems they are facing, the problems that we are having with them. And mom conversations tend to revolve around problems. So how do we change that and have great enough kids, Amy?
And just even asking yourself the question, I think it's a really good question to ask, are your kids great enough for you? So often, again, it does have a lot to do. I know, Jessica, you were talking about the social media. You're talking about all those influences. Mm-hmm. But we can let those things sink in and those comparisons. And before we know it, we're placing this unspoken expectation on our kids that even though we might be telling them good job and great and like, I think I'm really proud of you, they'll feel the weight if they're not living up to your hidden expectations. They will know. And there's this pressure of, I got to have these exceptional, they have to knock it out of the park all the time, And so first of all, just answer the question, are your kids great enough for you? Are they getting a message from you that you are proud of them, like period, end of story, even if they're not succeeding in all the areas that you think that they should be successful in, but do they get the they get that message from you that you're pleased with them? Just like we need to know our God is pleased with us, our kids need to know how pleased we are with them. And I share in that story when my daughter was 11, how I, put my, not 11, I'm 7, I think, Lissy was 7, when I put her to bed, I'd always say, do you know I love you? And she would say yes. And I said, and this one night I said, I'm proud of you. And she said, no, she didn't know that. And it's because our days had been filled with so much correction and redirection and all those things. So focusing, again, like we talk about our mom conversations, even training yourself one way you can help that is like when you talk to your kids, like asking them directly, how comfortable do you feel talking with me and sharing with me? How comfortable are you laughing together? Are you doing those relational things that help build that tight relationship so that your kids are comfortable sharing with you that the things they're struggling with. I wanted to add something that's not in the book, but there's I don't know if you've heard of the artist John Bellion. He has a song called Morning in America that really talks about this drive and perfection and standard that kids are living under these days and how it's just really suffocating relationships.
I haven't heard that song, but this sounds like the biggest to be continued that I have heard, because you also have some great practical advice for what it looks like to build a good relationship with your kids. So we'll have to have you back to do that. And in the meantime, May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And thanks to Amy Reno, not so perfect mom, learning to embrace what matters most. We'll see you next time.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.